gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Yep, there's the soundbite list. Gays. It's a big gay newspaper. Everything gay.
Although right. Edie Windsor yesterday was so awesome.
Yes.
Love her.
Yes.
She was a plaintiff in the Doma
right,
case.
Right, yes, yeah. Thank. I mean, I. That's the thing. How can your basic sense of fairness not kick in when you
know.
Go, you know, you listen to these human stories? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Wow, do we have a show lined up. Sam in Colorado writes, Steph, I have one question. Why are Christians so upset with same-sex couples raising children when Jesus was raised by two daddies?
Oh!
You know what? Hold your call. Sam is the smartest boy in class.
And a mama.
Right.
I guess she was raised by a threesome.
Right. Polyamory.
Polyamory.
Okay. All right. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, that kid looks just like that Roman centurion that's been hanging out here. It's so weird. I can't figure it out.
All right.
Sacrilicious.
yummy. Eat up. All right. So lots to get to. Carl Reiner on the big show today. Speaking
wow.
of legends, comedy legends.
Yes,
legends.
He has a new memoir.
Yes, he does. And he has an awesome son, who we've seen all over the Supreme Court this this week. Okay, so we have lots to get to. Let's Carl Frisch is here, for God's sakes, right out of the box.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning from the Bullfight Strategies offices directly across the street from the Supreme Court.
Look at you. Look at you. Location, location, location.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. But exciting, right, this week?
Oh, lots of excitement. I mean, the streets have been filled with people.
And snow.
You know, on both sides. I saw a group of junior high students with their signs that said, a kid deserves a mom and a dad. And I walked past them and I said, and they deserve to be in school. three of them laughed very hard. I said, you will grow up to hate that you were homeschooled.
All right. So obviously, yesterday, Doma, right? Your take on
right.
that. Obviously, they seem, that seems like good news. They seem skeptical of Doma, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's awesome news for anybody who happens to live in a state that recognizes marriage equality.
Right.
Because then, you know, they would, at least in the regard to marriage, have the same rights as anybody else. But, you know, if you live anywhere else, getting rid of DOMA really doesn't change much for you, other than the fact that you could move somewhere and get married or get married somewhere else and maybe have your marriage recognized by the feds, but not where you live.
Right.
So it does create kind of a complicated gray area if and when they do get rid of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And some of this stuff, I was reading the headline, Prop 8 lawyer basically concedes gay marriage folks will lose in the long term. But I lose patience with the argument that, oh, this is too much equality too fast. Do you know what I mean?
So, like, well, so do right, I. I mean, you know, that's for Congress to decide. You know, that's Congress touches the politics. The court should be sticking to the Constitution. So when I hear people say, well, you know, maybe the justices won't want to move so fast because, you know, look how controversial Roe versus Wade was. I said, well, yeah, the Constitution was pretty groundbreaking and controversial for its time. But nonetheless, the job of a Supreme Court jurist is to decide whether something is constitutional or not, not whether or not the American people are ready for it to be constitutional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. You tweeted Prop 8 unlikely to be upheld, either struck down or SCOTUS won't decide case. I mean, it does beg the question, if they think they shouldn't, there's no standing, that argument, why did they take the case in the first place if they're not sure they should be ruling on it?
Well, you only need four of the justices to take a case, right? So.
Yeah.
And you'd need five to win a case.
Right.
So it could be the, you know, likely the conservatives on the bench who wanted to take the case, but, you know, leaving, you know, a good number of the other justices who did not want to take it. Or it could have been the liberals who wanted to take it, and now they're saying that maybe they need a little bit more time before they can convince another justice that there's a viable path for a 50-state solution here. You know, one thing that was interesting during the oral arguments, Justice Scalia you know, who was on his mildly good behavior during these cases. He asked Ted Olson, when did it become unconstitutional to deny same-sex couples marriage?
Right.
And it's a very simple answer to that question. When the 14th Amendment was ratified.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. when we all got equal protection under the law, that's when it became unconstitutional. And, you know, he'd probably respond with something about how, well, they never intended it for gay people. Well, you know what? I doubt very much that all kinds of things in the Constitution, you know, the freedom of the press was probably not thinking of, oh, wait till the bloggers need it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
there's Dexter! Hi, Dexter Von Fresh! All right.
Dexter's a blogger. Who knew?
That's right.
That was almost screaming goat territory there. Carl, so what was I going to say? Oh, you know, the other thing, you know me, happy, clappy liberal that I am. I was reading a piece in the Daily Beast, beware early predictions in the Supreme Court gay marriage cases, because obviously people are feeling like, oh boy, you know, when they hear the oral arguments, but they turned out, Jackie and I were just talking about it, turned out to be all wrong in Obamacare, right?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it hasn't even been a year since that decision. I think we could all do well to remember how surprised many of us were.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's what I'm saying in terms of the oral arguments. That's what, you know, the piece is saying is these are the judges, you know, hashing out their own opinions. And obviously, I mean, what are you feeling? Because that's what they're saying is that you can't always just read the oral arguments and go, well, this is what's going to happen. What do you think?
Well, after watching listening, because the court doesn't want to be subjected to cameras for crying out loud.
Right.
Although it's odd that they do allow lawyers who are members of the Supreme Court bar to sit in a special fancy lounge with live audio. You know, I have a feeling that they should be able to make it live audio to anybody who wants to listen.
Right.
But after listening to the audio, I got to tell you, I think had this case come 5 years later, mm-hmm. We'd be looking at a 50-state solution to marriage equality, with Justice Kennedy being somebody who can't see his way around it. I mean, he's basically looking at this saying, we're either going to do a 50-state solution or we're going to dismiss this case. So I think what's going to end up happening is that Prop 8 is going to get dismissed, which will kick it down to just being about California. And then there's going to be some complicating factors as to how sweeping do they take Judge Walker Vaughn's initial ruling to be. And I think DOMA gets struck down. Section 3 of DOMA will get struck down. It doesn't make any sense for it not to be struck down because it plays into both equal protection arguments and more of a libertarian, right of the states argument.
Right.
So there's plenty of room for all the justices to come together. I think we'll probably end up with 6 votes on the repeal of Section 3 of DOMA, but you'll probably have 2 opinions as to why it's unconstitutional.
Some surprising advocates from right-wing world. Did you happen to hear this, Bill O'Reilly?
The compelling argument is on the side of homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the compelling argument is. We're Americans. We just want to be treated like everybody else. That is a compelling argument. And to deny that, you've got to have a very strong argument on the other side.
And the argument
and the other side hasn't been able to do anything but thump the Bible.
Oh!
Wow! I think my brain just exploded.
Wow!
Stephanie, you and the homosexuals do have a much more compelling argument.
Thank you.
It's nice to hear O'Reilly say that. O'Reilly, every now and then, tilts his hands to reveal that he's not the cultural warrior that he plays on television for lots of money. But, you know, we'll see what happens when and if the court does act on this. He went on to say that he doesn't have a dog in the fight, whether it's marriage equality or not, and that he supports civil unions. So at least we know that he supports separate but equal.
But, yeah, I was saying I love with social media, you know, when you open your homepage and it says what's trending, and the first thing was Bill O'Reilly gay. I was like, what is going on? And then I clicked on it.
I'm sure he prefers that to Bill O'Reilly loofah falafel.
But also yesterday, Rush Limbaugh just really took Bill O'Reilly to task for saying that Christians thump the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, people who are against
well-known Christian man, Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, well-known. I mean, he and his fourth wife firmly believe that they really enjoyed Elton John playing at their wedding.
That's
Teehee. Oh, he drew blood with that. meanwhile, though, you have Mike Huckabee. He said he warned if the Republican Party backs gay marriage, evangelicals will take a walk in the next election.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not. Okay, bye-bye. Hit the lights on your way out. See ya. Yeah.
I don't know why he should be worried about marriage equality. He and his wife have one of those super-duper marriages that they offer only in places like Arkansas.
Right.
Where, like, you can't get divorced even if your spouse is beating you and cheating on you. I'm not exactly sure of the terms. but it's not really important because I can't even get a simple marriage like Britney Spears.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, he's got a super-duper marriage. He shouldn't be worried about, you know, us gays selling the sanctity of marriage for even a minute. But this is his bread and butter, you know.
Yeah, he said, and I love this, I don't think you can make this argument anymore. He said, it's not because there's an anti-homosexual mood, and nobody's homophobic that I know of, but many of us, and I consider myself included, base our standards not on the latest Washington Post poll, but on an objective standard, not a subjective standard. Well, I think you can't make the case anymore it's not homophobic. It is by its nature, if you're denying someone equal rights.
Oh, this is part of the talking points now. They have to say something nice about gay people or seemingly nice about gay people when putting them down. It's, you know, if Huckabee was true to his Southern roots, he would just say, look, we don't have anything wrong with the gay community. Bless their hearts. Aren't they precious? Because
I'm not being condescending here.
it's precisely what it is. I mean, they realize now that they can't go out and drop F-bombs and call everybody queer because people know gay people, and they like them a heck of a lot more than people who would rather thump their Bible upside the head of a gay person.
Yeah.
So if they come out too strongly against LGBT folks, they risk turning people off and coming off as the bigots that they are.
And he closed, by the way, with yet another edition of... Yeah.
And thanks for playing Really Bad Analogy.
Compared gay marriage to basketball. He said, I recognize the culture is moving away from the traditional standard, but it's almost like saying, well, we have a basketball team and nobody on the team can hit the goal that's 10 feet off the floor, so we're going to lower the goal down to 6 feet, and that way everyone can slam dunk the ball.
Why is he having problems with gay people if he describes basketball like a gay person might?
Yeah.
So the question is, have you improved your basketball game, or have you actually just changed the standard so it looks like you're doing better? Wow.
What a fool.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You know... I think everybody should have the opportunity to have, you know, a spouse like Mike Huckabee, somebody who's clueless in every regard, and that you're stuck in a lifelong sexless marriage with.
But that family takes a wonderful Christmas card picture.
Oh, my goodness. Don't they? That is...
Well, I mean, this is the governor that lived in a double-wide, remember?
Yes.
All right. Now
he was a double-wide for a while.
Oh, right. Stop it.
And I loved your closing thought yesterday. If I was Australian with a pet kangaroo, I would name him RuPaul and make sure she worked it daily. You must have been going on no sleep.
LGBT-ier than that.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Carl Frisch. See you next week, honey.
Have a good one.
All right, there he goes. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
No, we're not going back. We're going forward. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Will Ferrell tweeted, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
He tweeted.
Yes, go ahead.
I feel so blessed that the government protects my wife and me from the dangers of gay marriage so we can safely go buy some assault weapons.
Thank you, Will Ferrell. Nicely done, sir.
He's been at our B Celebrity Gym, you know.
Really?
Lately, yes. I've seen him a lot there.
Today and look for him. Okay. All right. Keith in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Keith.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I'm very much interested in international aspects of the marriage equality issue. There are countries in the Middle East and the Far East, like Burma, who are struggling with new experience with democracy. And I think they've got to be keeping an eye on how constitutional democracies function, and especially now the issue of how to incorporate and respect minorities within a democracy.
Okay. Well, good. I don't know what your point was, but it was, I guess it was. He was just an international
sure.
point.
Okay. Okay. All right. Mm. Oh. All right.
All right. This is what Chris was talking about. Edie Windsor, who is the DOMA plaintiff. Yes. Okay.
In the midst of my grief, I realized that the federal government was treating us as strangers, and I paid a humongous estate tax.
Yeah, I mean, again, just Americans' basic sense of fairness. So she was with her partner, I don't know how many years.
Many, many years.
Many. And when she had to pay this huge tax when her partner... I mean, this is, I think somebody made this point yesterday about why should gays pay taxes if they don't have equal rights?
Right.
Okay.
She made another point yesterday during that press conference that I thought was really interesting. She talked about the word marriage. And how once people were married, there was a different response from friends and family members.
Right.
That there was actually the morning after a different feeling once people were committed through marriage.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that word held a special meaning and was important.
Right. And that's why, civil union that's never sat well with me, ever.
It's, separate but equal, as we keep saying. Let's go to Maury in Idaho. Hey, Maury, welcome.
Hey, good morning. We're up with the chickens here. What I want to know is how do the Christian Bible-thumping creationists legitimize the fact that they say homosexual human beings are bad, yet they allege the Creator made everything.
Well, right.
How do they explain the fact that every species in nature displays homosexuality? It's a variation, not a deviation.
Yep. We made this point so many times. I agree. All of this... I'm agreeing with Bill O'Reilly.
What the hell?
But it
is. Maybe he'll invite you on a show again.
I'm back up at the top of the list. it's true. It's like, and I've said yesterday, no one, not one Christian that's ever called that I've ever talked to has ever been able to answer, what about all the other stuff in the Bible? Like, what? How are you? If you're making social policy, why aren't we killing people that eat shrimp and yada yada yada? And that nobody can answer that.
Right.
Okay. Because, they're going, because this is my particular bias, because I like shrimp and I hate gays. That's basically the answer.
Makes no sense.
Who doesn't like shrimp?
I love shrimp.
Mm-mm. Dale in Honolulu, you're on the Stephanie Miller.
Ooh, it's early there. Wow.
Hi, Dale.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? And I do care.
Thank you. I'm well, thank you.
Well, today is my 51st birthday. I'm the same age as you now, I always didn't like my really high nasal annoying voice until President George Bush Sr. got elected. So I wish to hear birthday greetings from Mark Levin and Laura Ingraham. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Dale.
Happy birthday. Hawaii is sarcastic and ultra-left wing.
Hawaii is sarcastic. That's why I love it. All right, here is Edie Windsor again, DOMA plaintiff, yesterday.
Today is like a spectacular event for me. I mean, it's a lifetime kind of event. And I know that the spirit of my late spouse, the Aspire, is right here watching and listening and would be very proud and happy of where we've come to.
Roman in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Roman.
Hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to call and just let you know that 12 years ago when I was a Republican candidate and running for the state legislature, I had a Bill Riley moment where it became clear to me that gay marriage was an idea that didn't jive with the Republican principles. And what I mean by that is the libertarian leanings and even the Christian leanings of acceptance and freedom and keeping government out of your life.
Wow, good
and
for
so
you.
And so I think that Bill Riley is on a slippery slope right now, because now I'm a proud liberal, and once I realized that contradiction, everything sort of blew up in my face.
Wow. All right, Roman, thank you for that. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Boob does not count as real boob. That's like looking at a 12-year-old boy. You should know that, Joe.
You're built like a surfboard, Steph.
Thanks, thanks. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to
with
it.
With Skag.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Why, looky here, it's an unsolicited testimonial from Margaret in Madison.
Okay.
Steph, yesterday, Jolene picked up a box of TheraBreath lozenges when she was at Walgreens. Today, my coworkers are, I'm sure, delighted. I'm a coffee drinker and acutely aware of the dreadful impact of coffee breath, and at the moment, I'm in the midst of helping to train some new employees. I feel much more confident today, and I'm that I'm only bowling them over with the force of my personality instead of my dragon breath. Thanks for sharing a product that has had an immediate effect on my life. Wow. Margaret and Jolene Madison.
Nice.
Right? By the way, you can pick up TheraBreath lozenges at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. All right. So, by the way, I forgot to mention to Carl Frisch, this guy, there's just been some interesting people outside the Supreme Court protesting and otherwise.
All right.
Gay Tea Party activist denounces gay marriage. Doug Mainwaring, the openly gay founder of the National Capital Tea Party Patriots.
Please and thank you.
Please and thank you. Spoke at the National Organization for Marriage's rally on the Mall yesterday, warning that marriage equality will unravel marriage and undefine children.
Huh? Undefine children?
What? Children. Huh? That's the biggest threat to America, undefined children.
Children are children, so why should it be?
Right. They need to be better defined because... Huh? He said, as a gay man, I can state categorically it is not homophobic to oppose same-sex marriage.
Okay, then.
Wow, let's hope that guy has saved up a lot of money for therapy. Okay.
I'm sure Marcus Bachman would love to discipline him because he's a barbarian.
Sometime in the very near future, he's going to be hitting his pillow with a tennis racket.
Mom, why did you do this to me?
Good boy. Good boy.
Uh-oh. Did you knock us off the air? Hold on. Okay, there. I knocked us off the air.
That's what I thought happened. Yeah. I was like, I don't hear anything suddenly.
Because I was banging on the pillow
so hard. You were
doing
your skit too hard.
Exactly.
You tried to de-gay the radio.
Well, it worked. I don't know if we're going to de-gay much of this show.
Dana in Maryland. Welcome to the Big Gay Show this week. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. You're hilarious. Yesterday, you were on fire. Hilarious.
Oh, and so today is substandard is your point?
No. You're hilarious every day. But yesterday, I was like literally almost peeing my pants.
All right. Good girl.
So, yeah. But I wanted to touch on something. And welcome back from your trips. Everybody looks like they had a great time. Chris touched on yesterday how when a gay couple wants a baby, they really want a baby. And, you know, like I've said before, my brother-in-law is married to a man, and they have a five-month-old baby, and he's such a happy baby. Like, I don't know if these people think they glow in the dark or something, but, you know, you really have to go through a process.
Right.
To get this baby, I mean, you have to hire an egg donor. You have to hire a surrogate. You know, there's attorneys involved. I mean, you know, Chris was absolutely right. It is not easy, and they want that baby. And this baby's just as happy as any other baby.
Yep.
You know, and he's just a loving kid. He's got two filthy rich parents. You know, he's got it made. So, you know, and he's good looking.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my son was...
And let me just say, not all babies are. No offense.
No offense,
all y'alls with babies.
True. But I'm just saying, you know, let's hope they get it right and just everybody love each other. It's so simple.
Yep. There you go. Kumbaya. Thank you.
Welcome back. I love you guys.
Thank you. I love you, too. This Kumbaya moment brought to you by Dana in Maryland. Thank you.
Yay.
All right. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, by the way, my friend Brenda, who's going to be coming on, in hour three?
Yes.
She has worked with and been a friend of Ruth Bader Ginsburg for 40 years, and she got to see her in chambers yesterday. We're going to talk to her in hour three today. All right. Justice Ginsburg yesterday.
I mean, they touch every aspect of life. Your partner is sick. Social Security. I mean, it's pervasive. It's not as though, well, there's this little federal sphere and it's only in a tax question. It's, as Justice Kennedy said, 1,100 statutes, and it affects every area of life.
Brenda was, she blogged, she has wrote a great blog about this, but talked about literally like tears came to her eyes a couple of times in particular in some of the stuff that Ruth Bader Ginsburg said.
Yeah.
So five of the Supreme Court justices, including Anthony Kennedy, expressed skepticism at the constitutionality of DOMA yesterday, And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, this got a laugh yesterday in the Supreme Court. Ruth
State, there are two kinds of marriages, the full marriage and then the sort of skim milk marriage.
Love that. I want a T-shirt that says that.
Yeah, I know. I have the skim milk marriage. I have low fat. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Mama. This is the official gay Lutheran pastor of the Stephanie Miller Show here. Having gone to seminary and learned an awful lot about the church history and so forth, marriage, the church wasn't really that concerned about marriage early on in the early church. They saw marriage as a function of the state. And so marriage to them was all about the fact, it was about property. It was about who owned what and who could claim what if one of the spouses, you know, passed or left or whatever it might be. So this cherry picking that they do when it comes to, you know, well, this is something the church is concerned about and what it isn't concerned about is ridiculous. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see these people all standing up and going after things like, why are we cutting benefits for the poor, and why can't we have health insurance for everybody, all this kind of stuff. It would be wonderful to see that level of enthusiasm and angst being displayed if they would go after topics like that and not making sure that folks like you and I don't have our rights.
Right.
What last thing is, the early church has, and they don't want to talk about this, and certainly wasn't declared by the Roman Catholic Church, or wouldn't be today, is there were two Roman soldiers who were a gay couple who were martyred. And in many circles of the church, they're considered saints because they died as a result of their faith, and they were a gay couple, and the church didn't have a big deal. It didn't have nothing to say about it. It was just fine.
Yeah, yeah. Dave, as the official gay Lutheran pastor of the Stephanie Miller Show, take a listen to Reverend Patrick Wooden yesterday.
We're not motivated by hate. We're not motivated by bigotry. We just believe that when the God of the Bible created the institution, he didn't get our advice on it. He defined it, and I really believe that he got it right.
Yeah, no, right. And some of my best friends are black, too. the issue here is that God didn't institute marriage. I'd like to see, and God created marriage. No, God created humanity. God created creation, whatever. God didn't create marriage. And then which example of marriage is going to you use? How about Solomon? Let's use Solomon as our example. Just where does fidelity and monogamy and whatever come from when you look at Solomon, who had a zillion wives and concubines, not even married to him, but that was considered, that's fine, and yet somehow he was considered an instrument of God. So there, you know, if you're going to be that small-minded, what if God created us and said, okay, people, evolve, figure things out, move along. You know, and the ultimate goal is loving people for who they are instead of making sure only a small little segment of that group of people fits into our clique.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a remarkable thing?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's my sermon for today, and I'll take an offer.
All right, thank you. Thank you. All right, thank you, Reverend. He's awesome. I was talking about this, the Prop 8 lawyer. What's his name? Cooper.
Yeah.
He essentially conceded yesterday that the gay marriage opponents are going to lose in the long run.
Well, then
he's Charles Cooper, during oral arguments, referred twice to voters hitting the pause button to await additional information from the jurisdictions where this experiment is still maturing. I just feel like the language is so condescending.
It is.
This is, you know, human beings you're talking about. Yeah. Before making a decision on same-sex marriage, Cooper's point seemed to be that although same-sex marriage may eventually become the law of the land, the Supreme Court shouldn't speed up that process. Yeah, by all means, we shouldn't have equality, and not a moment too soon. That might be. I mean, I don't even get that argument. Justice Kagan yesterday.
I'm going to quote from the House report here. Is that Congress decided to reflect and honor a collective moral judgment and to express moral disapproval of homosexuality. Is that what happened in 1996?
Ooh. Good point. That got a gasp out of the gallery.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Sort of a golf reaction.
It was based on animus toward gays. That was her point.
Yeah.
And we thought that was going to be reserved for something Scalia said, right?
Yeah.
To use the F word for gay man. What? Charlie and...
Or Clarence Thomas just talked.
Said anything.
Huh? What?
Oh. I think it would be like Forrest Gump if he actually did. It would be like nothing.
Yeah.
He's been waiting years. He finally says something. I think I'll go home.
I'm
kind of tired.
I'm pretty tired. I think I'll go home now.
I'm pretty tired from not saying anything all these years and just using my What Scalia Said stamp. Charlie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Stephanie. I just want to say, man, I learned a whole lot more about Southwest Airlines than I ever wanted to. And I will be sure to bring. Now I'm going to use my iPhone for what it's really for.
Listen, I'm not. I can't guarantee everyone a middle-aged, bi-curious woman sitting next to them offering to kiss them. That only happened to me on Southwest Airlines.
And you said you were going to use the iPhone for what it was intended for, and that's the Stephanie Miller app.
Of course.
Did we pull that unsolicited testimonial from you?
I think we did.
All right. Oh, Audra in Minneapolis with a tribute to Mama's experience on Southwest.
So I've been with a few women. Can I kiss you?
Well, I don't even know how.
She seemed real nice, you know.
Real nice. Here she comes leaning over.
Oh, well, thanks, but no thanks.
I'm leaning back, curious wannabe lover.
No thanks. No, it's okay.
Grimadur!
Awkward!
Well,
I gave her my phone number.
Oh my gosh, I did.
That's me.
They look innocent. A couple glasses of wine, they go nuts. All I can say, Steph, is it's a good thing you weren't in a hot tub.
Uh-oh.
Stephanie, don't answer that. This message has been brought to you by lesbians that have been hit on by middle-aged, bi-curious women.
Hot tubs and airplanes and cheese.
Oh, God.
Audra, yeah. You're a scam.
Audra wrote a note when she sent that, and she said, yeah, that's happened to a lot of us.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, hello. Welcome to the club. That's the Mile High Middle-Aged by Curious Club. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. We have the smartest kids in class.
Yes, listener Charles writes, regarding Edie Windsor's estate tax, look on the bright side. The GOP finally has a tax they support.
Terrific. A tax on the gays.
It's a homo tax.
It's a big gay tax, man. Love it. Speaking of emails, Jim Ward got an email yesterday.
Oh,
yes. Someone sent me this. A woman put a sign on the bathroom door. Please clean this bathroom tonight. Clean it like the Queen of England is visiting.
Oh.
So the smart-ass kid put up a Union Jack and some tea and a Harry Potter book on the back of the toilet. But it turns out the Queen... Her Majesty,
yes,
actually decided to make a visit.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Don't you hate when that happens?
It has come to our attention that a mum in the colonies, who shall remain nameless, I shall henceforth refer to her as Helen, although her real name is Janet Lunsford of 123 Elm Street, Eddytown, USA, has commanded her undefined lout of a son to clean the WC as if the Queen of England were visiting. Well, the joke is on you, Helen. We shall be visiting your privy post-haste. In fact, we are standing in your doorway as we speak. Hello! Clear a path! We are in a desperate state. We fear we have consumed a steak and kidney pie that was a bit off.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That was close! Ah, we are relieved. Well, Talbot, Freddy, or Skip, or whatever your name is, we fear we have left you much to work with. Do not go in there. Ta-ta.
That was a sound effects extravaganza. We haven't done that in a while.
No, we haven't. I'm a little rusty, apparently.
For this big gay news week, we bring you a queen.
That's right.
As well. Oh, what's not to love about that bit? Thank you, Jim Ward. We are in a desperate state. That just happened at the top of the hour.
It did.
I had to leave in the middle of Jackie Schechter's news.
Because you were in a desperate state.
She had a steak and kidney pie that was a bit off.
You know this. We say lines from Jim Ward bits years ago. And that's going to, every time I go to the bathroom now, I'm going to say that. We are in a desperate state. Let's go. Let's go to... Jim in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Jim.
Hello. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank
you. Just want to thank you for having the smoking hot Jackie Schechter on there, too.
Yeah, right. Hello. Well, thank you.
I just want to make a comment about, Rush Limbaugh coming out and saying, that people better get on board. There's going to be a homosexual marriage. And O'Reilly talking about Bible thumpers. All they're doing is providing cover for the Southern Belle, Mick Insane, and Bonner for being able to pivot back to the middle. But don't worry, they still got their talking single-cell organisms like Palin and Bachman. They'll be out there hammering the draw.
Talking single-cell. It's talking paramecium. Yay! Yeah.
Paramecium.
Right. Exactly.
Just saying.
Jackie Schechter, how do you know that when you're not relevant anymore, when you have to make a video declaring your relevance? Thank you, Sarah Palin.
Oh, really?
Do you see this?
I did see this, and she uses all these quotes of the media talking about how great she is, although she hates the media.
I know she didn't use any of my quotes. Yeah, using the thunderous response she received at the CPACL,
yep.
Whatever it is. She declares her continued relevance in a new video. distributed by Sarah Pack.
She's going to sing, I'm Still Here.
Starting here, starting now.
That's a different song.
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
clips
God.
Of her speech are spliced, as Jackie said, with analysis from the mainstream media. Thanks.
The mainstream media?
Who use phrases like superstar.
What lamestream media outlet called her superstar?
I don't know. I'm sure they're all from Fox News.
Exactly.
Right.
Her employer.
It's also like the movie ads where they splice like one word.
Yeah.
It's like astonishing failure and they just take
astonishing.
It's astonishing. And plays by our own rules. Yeah, they use little clips like that. I guess they didn't use any of mine because I was all over TV. They could have used me not qualified to be president.
Sure.
Dopey. Okay.
Caribou video, Barbie.
Dumb
right.
as a stump.
I don't think we use
dumb
that
as a sack of hammers.
Which is an insult to hammers.
Right.
Yeah.
I apologize to hammers.
Hammers have a function. No,
right.
Hey. Oh, good one.
Stumps don't really, though.
The video ends with Palin's signature bear growling toward the sky.
What?
With the words, 2014, we haven't even begun to fight. Yes, go, fight.
Sarah Palin's into bears now?
Republicans,
yes,
listen to me.
Bears.
I am, that is
lucky you.
And apparently Led Zeppelin, because she quoted John Paul Jones.
Okay.
Republicans, I agree. She is clearly your most qualified candidate for president. We are officially scared. I would go with that. She has not yet begun to fight. 2014, go, yes.
She doesn't even know the presidential election isn't 2014.
Right.
She doesn't have the year right.
Don't tell her. Is she going to run for another half
I'm
term?
I would like to announce I'm running for president.
I would like to announce I'm
in 2014. Wait, what? There's no. What? Damn it, why wasn't I told?
Well, she really torqued that up, didn't she?
Well, she was talking about the congressional election.
That's true. I'm sure she was.
She's running for...
Jackie Schechter being overly generous, too. All right. From Ohio, kids.
I'm a giver.
Yep.
From Ohio, it's the John and Pam Show. It's the John and Pam, John and Pam, John and Pam Show.
Hello, good morning, kids.
Hello.
Good morning, sweetheart.
I want to gay marry both of you. All right, go ahead.
Oh, my lordy, God above. I have never laughed so hard in the morning time. Oh, Jesus. Geez, oh, Pete, you're going to make my old ticker fall off.
I'm going to make a video of myself and use just Pam's reviews of me. I love you guys.
Should we hold them?
Yeah. Travis, get them back. Sorry, okay. I ran out of time here with all the compliments and the jingling.
Yeah.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I
feel good. Hey, I'm right now. And I feel good. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, Jim Moore just got back. He was in desperate straits. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website, and April 13th, tickets going very, very fast. Chicago Theater, Hal Sparks, John Finkelstein, and I. Go get it. All right. So when we have a big, big show, Carl Reiner coming up next hour. At the bottom of this hour, we have Andrew Gumbel, who wrote the book about Amanda Knox.
That's right.
We're going to talk about that trial. And then also my friend who hung out with Ruth Bader Ginsburg yesterday.
Yeah.
We'll talk to her next hour about what's going on. I was talking about the Daily Beast piece, and maybe it's my happy clappiness. But the headline is, beware early predictions in Supreme Court gay marriage cases. Because you tend to be droopy and harsh my buzz on a daily basis. Let's see, who is it?
We wouldn't have a show if we didn't predict what was going to happen. I mean, come
That's
on.
That's what radio is, 3 hours of pulling stuff directly out of your ass.
Absolutely.
We're
working without a script, people.
It's what we've been talking about, though, Jackie, the Obamacare ruling. And that's what he writes in Daily Beast. Remember the Obamacare ruling debacle? Pundits read too much into the oral arguments and got the outcome wrong.
Yeah.
So,
Well, they wanted it to be a certain way because it would have been more dramatic.
Right.
And I think that they read Not the since, first half of the sentence and went crazy.
Not since Karl Rove's election night implosion have we seen such... They ruled Obamacare. They didn't. Why I oughta. Adam Winkler writes, from the Supreme Court to the Super Bowl, everyone wants to know what's going to happen. For many, it's even more important than watching the game itself. He says justices are allowed to change their votes anytime before their written opinion and the case is released to the public, and they often do. And he mentions Anthony Kennedy, the swing vote, once voted effectively to overturn Roe v. Wade. I didn't know that, before changing his vote and saving that landmark decision. Mm. Gay marriage is a similar type of issue, hotly controversial, profoundly contestant, and one that may shape a justice's legacy. So we've been talking about that all week, the wrong side of history argument. Anyway, but he says oral argument in the Supreme Court can be as misleading as the sorceress's mirage. The desire to know what, you know, for everyone to know what's going to happen often leads people in a perilous direction. He says one need only ask Supreme Court expert Jeffrey Toobin.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, do you remember this? This was a train wreck for the Obama administration. Obamacare is in grave, grave trouble. And that was based on oral arguments.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember who it was. Someone on Twitter yesterday said, just see whatever Jeffrey Toobin says and then know what it is. It'll be the
opposite.
If only Dick Morris were a Supreme Court expert.
He's got to lose the landslide.
Anyway, but he makes a good point. The justices are not performing for the public, and signaling to the public how they will rule is the furthest thing from their minds. They are engaged in a detailed intellectual exploration of often ambiguous law, dealing with the most complicated issues. Indeed, they may be trying to figure out how to rule themselves, searching for an answer rather than informing the advocates of their already made-up minds, which I thought was, interesting. Chief Justice John Roberts yesterday.
So 84, it's the same question I asked before. 84 senators base their vote on moral disapproval of gay people?
Yes, I think so. I think so. Justice Robert Kennedy yesterday.
I think it is a dumb problem. The question is whether or not the federal government, under our federalism scheme, has the authority to regulate marriage.
Robert Kennedy?
By the way, you wrote that wrong on
Anthony
there.
Kennedy.
And
sorry.
This is what a dope I am, is I just read it. I was like,
Anthony
Robert Kennedy.
Kennedy,
there's no judge named Robert Kennedy.
The next soundbite, I got it right. I'm sorry.
Here he is. He just changed his name to Anthony Kennedy yesterday.
You are at real risk of running in conflict with what has always been thought to be the essence of the state police power, which is to regulate marriage, divorce, custody.
Now here is Justice Scalia being
Scalia-ish.
Why are you so confident in that judgment? How many states permit gay couples to marry?
Today, 9, Your Honor.
9. And so there's been this sea change between now and 1996.
What a douche. I'm sorry. Am I allowed
yes.
to say that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a legal term. All right, John and Pam are back. Hi, John and Pam.
Hi, baby dogs. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I tell you what, I have never laughed so much in all my life. I was trying to make John's breakfast this morning, and I had to keep going back and forth. No,
we apologize to John for his crappy breakfast.
Yeah. That's right.
All right.
He ate it anyway.
All right. He knows what's good for him.
I don't want to starve.
No, the thing that gets me, sweetheart, and Stephanie, you've heard me rant, rave, and carry on.
Yes.
I think it's equal rights marriage. It shouldn't be gay or lesbian marriage. It's an equal right.
That's right. Your
tax money. Mm-hmm. They let people fight in the military. And if they take all that, then they should give gays and lesbians the equal right to marry.
That's right. Thank you.
And this Scalia, whatever that
Scalia.
Is.
Scalia.
Yeah. Scalia. He is Scalia.
I think he's a Scaly because he reminds me of a snake in the grass.
Yeah, he's a reptile. You're right.
Yeah.
Scalia.
You know, I mean, he's so snarky and snide. You know.
John, how has a gay marriage in 9 states affected yours and Pam's marriage? Any ill effect thus far besides the crappy breakfast?
Oh, no, there's no ill effect. The thing is, I mean, you know, we're all supposed to be made in God's image. So that means then God's made us all equal, so we should all be equal.
There you go. All right. You two are so precious. You know what? They're right. It could be a slippery slope because I'm going to bury both of you. See what I'm saying?
Mary.
Right.
You said bury.
Mary. No, I will marry. Well, and then I will bury them if they predecease me.
Don't forget.
Hang your shoe on the desk now?
Don't forget, we're coming to Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Sexy liberal. See you there, sweeties. Love
Bye.
You. Love you. Oh, I want to get married to them. I do. Slippery slope. There we go.
You don't want to bury them.
Polyamorous.
I'm going to call them Scalia from now on. That's perfect.
All right. Jim in Chicago. Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Hello. Hey, first time caller, long time listener.
Mm, hello.
The thing I wanted to say is, you know, when it comes right down to it, what I think this is about, this goes back to the Mike Huckabee ick factor comment. You know, conservatives, all their arguments, I think, boil down to the fact that they're afraid that they are going to legitimize gay sex.
Yeah.
It's not about marriage. It's not about loving someone of the same sex. It's about the fact that they're uncomfortable with the notion of two people of the same sex having sex.
I'm uncomfortable with the notion of a lot of straight people I know having sex, just so you know.
I'm uncomfortable with the thought of Antonin Scalia having sex. Like, that's not something I sit at home and think about.
Yikes. I know. All right. Let's go to Julie in Cape Cod. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jules.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi.
It's lovely to talk to you. You guys make me smile every time I listen to you.
So,
what I wanted to say is, in the same vein as the last two people, but a little more honestly, is that I really think that this is just all about money as far as, you know, legislating marriage, what defines a marriage. Because, you know, big money, they don't want to extend the federal recognition because it costs lots of money to give people healthcare opportunities and tax breaks and so on and so forth, you know. But how, you know, what's the easiest way to get the sheeple on board is to say, you know, oh, morality and religion. If you say God won't like it, then people are going to be rabid about the cause. But if you say that, you know, greed is why we don't want to extend these human rights, maybe not so many people are going to jump on board with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good point. Very good point. Andrew in Madison on the Supreme Court. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, go ahead.
I was just calling in regards to Edie Windsor's attorney during oral arguments. I was somewhat surprised that, aside from the equal protection argument, the attorney didn't also make the argument that the federal government doesn't have the power to regulate marriage because the federal government doesn't have general police power like the state. And I found that kind of shocking because Edie Windsor is her client, so she should be using any argument available to her to advocate for her client. And both the equal protection argument as well as the domestic relations exception that states can regulate marriage and not the federal government would both get the desired result in terms of the tax situation. So I thought that was kind of peculiar because it didn't seem like she was advocating for her client. She was more advocating for the broad scheme of the equal protection argument.
Yeah, all right. All right, good point. Amy in Los Angeles real quick. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Amy. Stephanie.
No, you're
Lambda
Amy.
Alumni Association.
You're what?
I'm from the USC Lambda Alumni Association.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, remember when you gave that wonderful talk at our Lavender Commencement Ceremony?
Oh, thank you.
And we love the fact that you're wearing the rainbow puppy hat that we sent you.
Oh, that's right. I've worn that on the air a bunch of
times.
We
do. We love it.
Fight on for LDSC.
Yeah, fight on.
Right.
Now, listening to all this conversation, I think what we really need to do, and I think you guys are the perfect people to get this moving, we need to get Clarence Thomas's picture on a carton of skim milk. Because, once again, he's missing from oral arguments.
Yeah, well, you're referring to Ruth Bader Ginsburg saying it's a regular marriage and skim milk marriage.
Right, and he's somebody who, has benefited in his marriage from a change in laws.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think you guys just need to get a movement going to get his picture on a carton of skim milk.
Only skim milk.
Well, he has gone missing from saying anything for years in the Supreme Court. You're right.
Except for what he said, pointing at Scalia.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you had a question about Southwest Airlines, I believe.
Oh, well, yeah, because I just need to know what you need to do to get your experience. I mean, do you buy the thing where you get to board early? Do you pay the extra fees, or do you sit in the middle row? Because I'm kind of missing out on this. And
how do you get the middle-aged bi-curious woman sitting next to you who offers to kiss you?
To give you some strange?
I don't know. Actually, it's a whole other airline. You need to buy a ticket.
Settle in. Relax. With even more legroom than before. In-flight personal video. Newly redesigned comfortable seats, and the finest airline meals in the industry. So when you're settling in with our award-winning service and a strange, bi-curious middle-aged woman offers to shove her tongue down your throat, sit back and enjoy the ride. It's something special in the air.
Something real special up in there.
Good boy.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
No. Don't dance, Steph. No.
No.
Okay, sorry.
Did you have a seizure salad for breakfast?
You can just put a pencil on my tongue. I'm fine. I'm dancing. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from
It's just
anywhere.
A grand mal. Nothing to worry about.
No, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Nobody help me. Don't touch me. All right. By the way, a couple other news snidbits. Sir little snidbits.
Snidbits?
Tidbit and a smidge of other news besides big gay news.
All right.
James Holmes has offered a guilty plea to avoid the death penalty in the how you know gun violence is bad is you're like, which one is he now?
I think he was Aurora, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Movie theater.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Which
yeah, that's really awful.
Awful
we can't
mass.
Keep them straight.
Yeah. I know. And out here, our Christopher Dorner thing.
Yeah.
Ex cop Christopher Dorner, when they were hunting him down. There was $1 million of reward money raised for his capture and conviction. Now there are two sets of claims to the reward money. The groups that pledged the money are balking at paying because he wasn't captured or convicted.
No!
Well, it was for his capture and conviction. I do sort of get that. Because,
that's kind of pulling out of a promise there.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's the couple that he tied up and whatever they said.
Right.
But I mean, they're saying that
they led the police to
Dorner.
But then
it's the other guy by the side of the road. They're saying, "Oh, it was his call that led to his." But he wasn't captured.
Split it up.
Yeah, I don't know. All right.
Don't pull out of even giving any money at all. That's awful. Because nobody's going to go for a reward anymore.
All right. Nick and Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Nick.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I picked your show up a couple of years ago when you were in a market in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and he took you off.
Right.
And I think the owner of the Redskins and Clear Channel or something like that. But I've loved your show every since.
Thank
now
you.
That you're on TV. I absolutely love
it. Was,
you.
It was not Clear Channel. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. I consider myself an unofficial MOOC, that's how much I love the show. this issue that's before the Supreme Court now, it's a no-brainer. I happen to be an African-American, so I know polling-wise I'm speaking for all African-Americans, but polling-wise we've come out a little slow on this, but I think these arguments, and you're playing really good clips of these arguments, especially with this, the other side is saying, it just really kind of illustrates how dumb the argument is against preventing anyone from marrying anyone. I really believe that. And, you know, I was thinking with you, I get you and the fellow's opinion on this. I think this is one of the issues that really is going to drive the Republican Party as to be what I hope to be the Whig Party in about 5 to 10 years. I think this, and the more you hear Sarah Palin and Mike Huckabee and some of these ridiculous other people on their side, I think it's really going to drive them really off the cliff in about 5 to 10 years. But I'll say one more thing.
All right.
I think that the challenge that we have is what we do with that, when that void, when we're going to be in that void. Are we going to be the people to say, hey, we got to start talking about jobs now, instead of patting ourselves on the back and saying, yeah, we defeated them years ago, and now we're the overlords of the political landscape. Are we going to start talking about giving people jobs? Are we going to start talking about ending this ridiculous war on drugs? Are we going to start talking about the real thing?
Wow,
so,
you were like a little mini talk radio show there. That was, he covered every single topic. Good boy. Okay. Wow.
Okay, we can go home now.
All
yeah.
right. Wow, he covered everything.
Would you like to interview Andrew Gumbel?
That's yeah, coming up next. Well, that's coming up next. I should have had him plug that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, his first topic, I have some fun facts.
Okay.
Lawrence in Massachusetts, because, D.C. flipped to sports. And he said, staff here in Boston, later in Seattle, radio station operators thought all sports radio might be the answer to their prayers. Might be time to think again. Here's an article with components detailing how the numbers might not add up. As an official media observer who is not in the media of the Stephanie Miller Show, I can view the ratings around the country, and your former station in Seattle has a cum of so few listeners, it doesn't show up in the ratings at all anymore.
Hmm.
Well, that's
seems
certainly
like
easier to sell.
A crappy business decision right there.
Certainly easier to sell a zero rating. Who doesn't know that? Who did... Which Herb Tarlick that went to radio sales school doesn't get that?
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
That's funny to those of us that did the radio station promotions in the 70s.
You mentioned Herb Tarlick, so
there
I...
you go. All
yeah,
right.
Okay.
29 minutes after the hour, just because that guy forgot to do the plug, Andrew Gumbel, co-author of Honor Bound, My Journey to Hell and Back with Amanda Knox, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She used to be a strong, smart, beautiful woman. Why did she transform herself into that baby hooker?
What?
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, by the way, Rocky Mountain Mike, we just made a WKRP in Cincinnati reference, being old-timey radio people.
Yes.
And he reminds us that, yes.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me. I'm living on the air, it's not so crappy. Not so crappy, Radio Stephanie. Got tired of radio right-wing domination. Town to town, they seem to own the dial. Maybe you were meant to listen to Hannity. Just maybe tune me in once in a while. I'm at Stephanie Miller's show. It's not so
so crappy.
Thank you.
No, it is crappy. It's when your Ricola little thing gets stuck
okay.
in your headphones.
In your hair.
This
what
is
was
why
on my headphones.
You have got to watch the show on current TV because I thought he was wearing an Easter bonnet.
I did too. I looked over and I'm like, why does he have a bow in his hair?
His Ricola wrapper was stuck under his headphones. All right.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's better than, you know, toilet paper coming out of the back of your pantyhose and you tuck your skirt in by accident.
I hate when that happens. Yeah.
Awesome.
Happens to me all the time.
All right. Oh, Lord. So, Jackie, we've been talking yes. all week about, obviously, this was a little shocking, the Amanda Knox being retried. And you took me to a book party, which
yes.
I don't think I've ever been invited to one before because I don't know people as fancy as you.
You were very well behaved.
Thank you. It was a very highbrow garden party sort of thing. But it was for Andrew Gumbel, who
yes.
is your good friend, married to your good friend Naomi. And a fascinating book. He's obviously a journalist that has been, worked for Reuters, The Independent, lived overseas. And he is the co-author of Honor Bound, My Journey to Hell and Back with Amanda Knox. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning to you.
This is my fancy friend Jackie that you know.
Hi, Jackie.
Good morning.
Andrew, first of all, were you shocked?
I was a little surprised, yes. Then the reason I was surprised is because at the appeals level, not only did the defense, that's to say Amanda and Raffaele, prove beyond a reasonable, show that beyond a reasonable doubt was not a possible option to demonstrate their guilt, but they actually showed beyond a reasonable doubt that they had to be innocent. Every last piece of evidence against them was demolished. So from an evidentiary point of view, it's a little surprising. In terms of knowing the Italian court system, it's a little less surprising, and here's why. Italy is a country that is almost constitutionally incapable of making a firm decision about anything in a criminal trial.
It's run by all Libras. It's run entirely by Libras.
I'm a Libra.
Me too.
Right.
I can't decide which of us is less decisive.
Go ahead, Andrew.
There's been some reporting in the United States that I don't think quite takes on board how the Italian system works, which is essentially no case is decided definitively until the High Court pronounces that it's over, and it was the High Court that decided the other day that the case had to go back to the appeals level. What we don't know yet is why. It could be something to do with the evidence, though frankly I doubt it. It's more likely to be some procedural issue that they want reexamined. If I had to guess what's going on here, it is that this was a very high profile case. It was extremely embarrassing to the Italian authorities that they screwed it up quite as badly as they did, that they took two young people who were manifestly innocent, kept them in prison for 4 years, accused them of a crime that they were literally incapable of committing, based on evidence that all fell apart. I think that the High Court is probably thinking about saving the face of the Italian justice system here and just saying, you know what, let's just take a little longer, let's cross the T's, let's dot the I's, make absolutely sure that the second appeals court's going to agree with the first one. We don't know that for sure. We've got to wait up to 3 months for the reasons for the ruling to come out, at which point we'll know more. But my guess would be it'll go back to the appeals court in Florence. They'll consider it all over again. They'll come to the exact same verdict, which is to say that these two young people are innocent. And then it'll go back to the High Court, at which point we have to hope that they finally are comfortable with making a decision and letting it go. That would be my prediction. But again, the world is founded on predictions that completely get upended. So.
But right. There's no way that she'll be extradited, even if they do find them guilty, right?
I would be stunned. She's certainly not going to go back to Italy until this is over. I think even if she's found guilty, it goes back to the High Court, that guilt is then confirmed, all of which is highly unlikely. Mm-hmm. Even in that scenario, the Italians would have to make an extradition request. I don't see the Americans acceding to that request.
Have you spoken to Amanda?
I have not. Well, here's the funny thing about writing a book. I wrote a book with Raffaele. Her book, she's not, personally a rival of Raffaele's, but the two books are in rivalry. So for legal reasons, we weren't allowed to communicate other than saying, a cordial hi. So that's as much as I've done. Well, after her book comes out, I'm sure I'll speak to her and get her end of the story. I'm very interested to read her book, actually, because... Raffaele's family had the whole backstory. They were the Italians. They hired the lawyers. They figured out how to beat the system, at least the first time around. Amanda was, of course, the foreigner. She was stuck there in prison. Her family was incredibly supportive, but they didn't know the ropes. Mm-hmm. So it's a different perspective, and I think both books are probably going to be very good reads.
Well, we encourage We encourage you. Yeah, I was going to say we encourage you to buy Mena's book, but only if you have bought Honor Bound: My Journey to Hell and Back to the Men of Knox first. First and foremost.
One book on this story, then you know there's only one possible choice, and I say that with a completely unbiased point of view.
Right, right. And if you only have enough money for one book, that would be the book you would buy, and not the other
one. Hey, if you've only got enough courage to steal one book, steal mine.
Hey, Andrew, there is someone who was charged and convicted with the murder, right? How does that play into this new decision?
Well, from an evidentiary point of view, you're absolutely right. There was an immigrant from Africa called Rudy Godet who was arrested a crucial 2.5 weeks after the crime, after Amanda and Raffaele were already thrown in the slammer. His DNA was all over the crime scene. He had committed crimes in the past using a similar knife, breaking in a similar way. You know, all the evidence points to him and him alone. So this is really, you know, a last-ditch attempt by the prosecution who couldn't bear to say, you know what, we probably made a mistake, let's drop it, let's just focus on the one person we know is guilty. All of the last 4 or 5 years has been about the prosecution not being willing to admit that they made a mistake. And the prosecution, no doubt, will continue in the same spirit. What we don't know yet is whether any evidence will be heard at the appeals level, if it's just procedural, if it's something to do with the evidence they want to look at again. We just don't know. We'll have to wait 3 months to find out.
One of the things that came out in your book was sort of a series of poor decisions that Amanda and Raffaele made, right? After it wasn't the reason why the prosecution tried to hang their hat on something, it was kind of a series of errors that they made. Is that, in fact,
that's
the case?
That's true. And I think, you know, if you talk to people who are crime investigators, homicide detectives, lawyers who go to court to do this stuff, they will tell you this is very common. You have young people who are a little wide-eyed, they're innocent, and they blab. And they say things they shouldn't. They make inadvertent, inconsistent statements. And if the police is so inclined, they can seize on those and say, see, yesterday you said this, today you said that. You are lying, therefore you must be guilty. And it can get people into terrible trouble. It doesn't usually get them into 4 years' worth of jail trouble. But Amanda and Raffaele were young, they were naive. They did things they shouldn't have done, and they got them into the worst possible trouble.
Andrew, for people that don't really know, and again, because it also was a while ago, tell us what happened, and obviously, in your opinion, what actually happened. Tell the actual story.
So the story is there was a young British student called Meredith Kircher who was horribly stabbed to death in her room in Perugia in the center of Italy where she was a foreign exchange student. Amanda Knox was her roommate. Amanda was going out with an Italian by the name of Raffaele Sollecito. They went to the house the next morning. They saw that there were things wrong. They called the police. The police came and immediately decided that the break-in that had happened must have been simulated after the murder and that Amanda and Raffaele had simulated the break-in and had committed the crime. Okay. They then went to Raffaele's house, found a kitchen knife at random by their own admission and said, ha-ha, this is the murder weapon. Huh. No DNA was ever found on the murder weapon. They claim they found some, but that was demolished at the appeals trial. The whole idea that you go to the scene of the crime where you murdered somebody and call the police and wait for them is already absurd on its face. Yeah. I mean, you know,
They claimed it was some sex game gone awry or something. Was that the
Well, the theory of the crime changed a lot. It was a satanic orgy. It was a sex game gone awry. The prosecutor claimed with a straight face at the end of the first trial that the reason why Amanda hated Meredith Kircher was because Meredith had told her off for not flushing the toilet. The lower court judge then decided that wasn't really the motivation at all, that they had got involved in some spontaneous sex thing, you know, going back to that idea, and that the only motivation for the crime was pure evil. He didn't specify what the evil was. In other words, he had no motivation. You know, there's no motive ascribed, certainly not to Raffaele at all. And to Amanda, it was this idea that somehow there was a fight over an unflushed toilet.
Wow.
You know, the whole thing doesn't pass the giggle test, you know, from start to finish.
Have you spoken to Raffaele since this new, because he's going to have to be retried too, no?
That's correct. I haven't, just because I've been traveling, but I've seen what his lawyers had to say, which is, you know, very much along the lines of what I'm telling you, which is, you know, she said, I don't know if there's some procedural issue they need to look at again, but if it's to do with the evidence, I'm very comfortable because I know the evidence, and I would concur with that 100%. Any reasonable person looking at the evidence can only conclude that there is none against either Amanda or Raffaele.
And he's living in Italy now, correct?
he's living in Italy. He's going to school there. You know, if I were him, I would consider my options.
Get out.
He might have to join you in your travels.
Right. You know, if you want to believe my predictions that it's all going to work out in the end, it's just going to take longer. Fine. You can stay put. But if I were him, I would be looking at foreign study opportunities at this point.
Yeah, you have a guest room, don't you?
Fiji, maybe.
You have a guest room and you have a lovely home. I've been there. And may I just say your wife is smart and pretty and a very good friend to Jackie.
Jackie, I always thought that you had dibs on the spare room. So
I actually did until I moved in around the corner. So.
Right. Your spare room is just crucially separated by one street.
Right.
But let me mention again that if you are going to buy a book about the Amanda Knox, I would buy Honor Bound, My Journey to Hell and Back with Amanda Knox by Andrew Gumbel. Andrew, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again real soon. And I'll be in that
You're very welcome.
I'll be in that guest room because I can't drive.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrew. Bye,
thank
love.
You.
DJ Keystone Cops in the film.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
wow.
Good Lord.
That is hilarious. Oh, I would just like to add that in addition to having a lovely British accent, because he's British, he speaks like 1,000 languages.
Wow.
I
was going to
say all of the interviews with Raffaelli in Italian.
Hmm. Ooh, I should have thrown some German at him.
So
he could probably translate his own book into several languages.
Yeah, it's like that.
Wow.
So it's not just a fake British accent to get chicks? Okay.
No.
All right.
But he did get an incredibly hot chick.
Yeah,
so
he did.
It worked somehow.
So he could drop the fake accent now if he wanted. Just saying. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Carl Reiner next hour. Not often you get to say that.
I know.
Hello.
Usually we have Rob Reiner, but this is his dad.
Right. Oh, we're so proud of his little boy. That's fun. It just makes me happy seeing his smiling face in front of the Supreme Court. One of our heroes. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. You can access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet. It's magic. Like I do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. You can try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For my special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. All right, obviously we've been, over the years, discussing torture on the show.
As you do.
What? Why wouldn't somebody think of this, Jim? Man stuck on It's a Small World ride sues Disney and wins.
All right, I'll talk.
A man was awarded $8,000 by Disneyland after the It's a Small World ride broke down, stranding him for a half an hour while the theme song played continuously.
Turn it off! Turn it off!
For a half an hour. I think that was half a minute, and I've had enough. People now making their way up to the rooftops. Okay.
All right. Oh, now we're going into different languages.
Yeah. Make it stop.
Make it stop.
All right, I'll tell you whatever you need to know. I'd rather listen to the Dana Loesch Show, please. Something else. All right, that's good. That's enough.
Okay. Oh.
Thank you, Jim.
Ooh. I think that's a German word.
That was painful.
Here's the good news. Because we believe in science here, Jackie, we
science.
Can... Yes, we can get that tune out of our head. Scientists have found a way to get rid of earworms.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Right?
How do you do it?
Researchers claim the best way of stopping earworms is to solve tricky anagrams.
Earworms?
So that's how you get...
Ah.
What?
I'm horrible at solving anagrams.
Songs that stick in your head.
Oh, is that what earworms are?
Not actual worms.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were worms.
You know, the songs that keep going through your head and you can't get out?
You don't stick a fish hook in your ear.
No.
That would be,
no.
I thought it was a disease. Doctor, I have earworms.
If you swim in the Ganges, you might get...
Right, you might get earworms.
Oh, no, do not swim in the Ganges.
No, not downstream. That's never going to come out of your ear now.
And turning off your modem will not help.
Press any key to get rid of earworm. Dr. Ira Hyman.
No. Keep saying that name over and over, you'll get rid of an earworm.
He said you are screwed if you don't do an anagram after you get an earworm. He said if you are cognitively engaged, it limits the ability of intrusive songs to enter your head.
Says Ira Hyman.
Okay. Although there is still no cure for this, as you know.
Ooh, baby monkey, running on a pig, baby monkey.
Yeah, Dr. Ira Hyman has just been like, wow, you are screwed now. You are never, ever going
to... You need to break the cycle of that song.
Right, Dr. Hyman needs to break that cycle. Don't you think?
He's not riding a cycle.
No.
He's riding a pig.
Baby monkey. Baby monkey.
All right. All right. You know what? We're going to get back to screaming goats in a moment if we don't
no,
stop.
No,
stop.
No, 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 no,
just
no.
Just stop. Okay. Dee in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dee.
Hi, this is, how you doing,
good,
Stephanie?
Good, go ahead, Dee.
First time caller, my husband got me hooked on you.
Yay. Three-way.
Anyway, I do believe that we are all created equal in God's image. This is the way I was raised as a Catholic. And homosexuality, they should be married. It's not just a civil service, but I believe there should be a marriage.
We should be forced to be married. Well, now you're getting a little militant.
And we raise children, we nourish them, we care for them, we love them. We show them how to respect and love and care. And they grow into fine young men and women, no matter if we're straight or if we're gay.
Yep.
Yep. And number two, the Republicans. You know, they're talking about so many subjects. It's like they're a dog running around chasing their tails.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think they're trying to, you know, it's interesting. It's like they're trying to find a way, whether, you know, yesterday everybody was talking about immigration, and let's face it, they have come to, whether it's marriage equality. Rush Limbaugh yesterday said there's going to be marriage equality in the country no matter what.
Yeah.
So anyway, Chris, don't do it. Why are you doing that? Really? Now lying on the cold, come on. All right, come on.
Trouble.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Trouble.
Okay. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. I'm sorry I'm speaker, but I have the bar babies with me.
Okay.
So they want a better lawyer. We were stuck on that ride when their mommy was little. Not only were we stuck for more than a half hour, about 45 minutes, but we were stuck in front of the hyena.
Oh,
that rocks its head back and forth?
Oh, boy.
But exactly.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Five of us almost jump ship. I want that money, please.
Is it a teacup? What are you in on, small ride?
No, you're a boat.
Oh,
you're
no, the
boat.
Teacup's a different thing. I
completely different.
I haven't been in a long time.
Well, none of us have. But well, I have. Oh, but, well, okay. Because I'm a Disney nut, but whatever.
Okay, anyway, but yeah, they almost dove out of the whatever car you're in. It's just a regular car in Small World, right?
It's a boat. We just said it's a boat.
Oh, it's a boat? What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
The Caribbean thing. Who's that guy?
That's also a boat.
That's also a boat.
Right.
The Pirates of the
Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's a boat.
It's also a boat. Oh, I hate all of you.
The Monsanto ride was not a boat.
No, it wasn't.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere, StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, look at this. Eric writes, Steph, after several days, I noticed something about my younger female cat, Himalayan long hair.
Huh.
Just in case you were wondering.
Okay.
Named Moonshadow. She prefers Jackie over Steph. When Jackie is on, Moon will sit up in her bed and look at the screen. When Steph is on, Moon will turn around and point her rather long tail directly at the screen.
It's because I'm a cat person.
Yes.
Screw you, Moonshadow.
She knows I'm a cat person.
She can tell just looking at you that you hate cats.
Yeah.
Okay. I kid, of course. I kid the cat people. All right, kids, big week at the Supreme Court, and my good friend Brenda Fagan Esquire, she makes me call her that even when she's at my house eating dinner.
Right.
It's very awkward.
However,
she has been in the Supreme Court for both days of hearing. Good friend of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, hung out in her chambers yesterday. Brenda Esquire joins us now. Hello, Brenda Fagan Esquire.
Would you please call me Brenda Fagan and no Esquire, and just how are you, Stephanie?
Okay. Hello. How are you? You are fancy. I've been reading your blog about what's going on there, and it's great.
Well, it's been unbelievable. I've never had 2 days like this in my life. I've been listening intently in both days of hearings, and it was just incredible, both of them. I mean, I'm stammering. There's so much to say about it.
Well, I know. I mean, that's the thing. You're obviously a constitutional scholar, but I mean, the way that first of all, you got the tickets. You've known Ruth Bader Ginsburg for 40 years, right?
That's correct.
And so you got
sat at the counsel table. Yep.
And so she
argued the biggest Supreme Court case on sex discrimination in the 70s, and I sat next to her, ready to hand her cites, but she had them all memorized, and here she is 40 years later on the bench, and there I was in the gallery. It was really a historic moment for me.
What was it like being in chambers with her yesterday?
No, it was incredible. I mean, the first of all, well, you're talking about her chambers as opposed to the gallery?
Yeah.
Talk about both.
Yeah, no.
Chambers, she took me after the hearing. I went over there just to meet with her and say hi before she took off for the conference with all the other justices. And, she showed me this great picture of Elizabeth Cady Stanton that had been made a gift to Ruth. It was a picture of Elizabeth on her 80th birthday, and Ruth is turning 80 this month, and it was just so poignant and showed me the different things in her office that had to do with each of the cases she's decided and gifts people have given her.
Including a bobblehead, I'm told.
She's just a wonderful person. She introduced me to Justice Kennedy afterwards in the hallway, and we were chatting about his kids moving to out of California to Washington. And, I mean, they're regular people. They're great people, and I really enjoyed being there. I mean,
wow.
I have a lot to say about what happened constitutionally, in my opinion, but it really, really was a fabulous day.
Well, let's get to that. And, but I love the way you write about the fact that you literally, a couple of things that Justice Ginsburg said, it brought tears to your eyes, including...
They sure did.
Including when she said, assume the state's decision, there is no marriage between two people, for the federal government to then come in and say, no joint return, no marital deduction, no Social Security benefits, your spouse is very sick, but you can't get leave. People, if that's a set of attributes, one might well ask, what kind of marriage is this?
She asked and answered, it's a skim milk marriage. It was just a great moment when she said that. I couldn't even believe she had said it. It was so funny.
Yeah.
But in a poignant and kind of sad way, it is a skim milk marriage. We don't have any of the benefits, 1,100 and counting benefits the federal government gives to straight married couples. And, here we are. Joanne and I are married in California, and there are 18,000 others in California and then 9 other states. And Justice Kennedy got around to the crux of it when he said, 40,000 children in California want their parents to be married. Their children are same-sex couples, and their parents aren't married. It was really touching. And I was worried. I had been worried earlier because over an hour of this morning before we got to the merits of DOMA was devoted to the fact, and I'm now on DOMA, I mean, the 40, both of them touch on California, obviously, but, it was just amazing when he said, there are 40,000 kids that really want their parents to be married, and there are 1,100 federal laws that are affecting us differently and much more unfavorably than straight couples. So it's just total discrimination. There's not an argument about that.
Well, you,
I mean,
you
the
know,
bad guys.
And you wrote really, you wrote really poignantly, Brenda, at the end of your piece today. You said, "I hope my family and my daughters and all the others just like us will be certified as just as real as all the straight marriages are by the decisions in these two momentous marriage cases." I mean, you know, there is obviously such a personal stake for you and so many other people in this.
That's a very personal stake. I mean, I think that the irony, though, as was pointed out by one of the liberal justices, was that if you grant equality to us, you know, in a state that has already moved in that direction, even in states that have civil unions and domestic partnerships and don't have marriage, you're letting us have certain rights. But what about all the people in states that are even worse off than we are? Are we just going to ignore them? Unfortunately, is good. Go ahead.
Yeah, Brenda, you know, it's interesting. I was quoting a piece today in the Daily Beast that, you know, just saying beware of making predictions based on oral arguments because they got it all wrong, for instance, in Obamacare. What is your, you know, from being there and watching it in your point of view, what do you think?
Are we talking about both of them?
Both of them. Uh-huh.
I think that Prop 8, we may have the court say, and I think this is a more likely outcome, that this case is not properly before us. They really went into this in both of them, but they are troubled by the idea that proponents of an initiative that have no official connection to the state of California, have not been delegated by the executive or any other branch of the California government to represent California and its horrific Prop 8, are in court in the first place. They just don't think they're there, right? And I think that case is going to be there's a wonderful phrase in the law that says dismissed in contemplation of it just being ridiculous, and they're going to throw it back out to the state. And I think that will happen. I think we will have same-sex, I predict, really, really strongly predict in June. And then, I mean, assuming it's thrown out the day they make their decision. And then the DOMA issue is the same kind of thing, but I think we've got the majority on our side. I think the DOMA people, bad guys, are basically saying that Roberts really whined when he said, why didn't Obama just stop enforcing the law? I know he's not defending it. Why didn't he stop enforcing the law and keep us out of it? I mean, that seemed to be the sentiment among the more conservative justices. Why is it even here? So my sense about DOMA, however, is that because Kennedy was so strong on his 1,100 federal statutes that are affecting us married people who are same-sex badly, I think Kennedy will join the liberals, all of whom were great, by the way, mm-hmm. and each with great quotes. I think he will join the liberals and say this law is unconstitutional. I really am sticking my neck out on that one. I don't think it's a big stick. On the other hand, on Prop 8, I don't think we have him, let alone, I'm not even sure we have Sotomayor. I'm not sure who we have on mm-hmm. Prop 8 saying that the initiative proponents should have standing in that case. Blag is the name. I hope I'm not confusing everybody jumping between the two of them, but it's muddled in my brain in terms of this, everything coming so fast,
yeah.
You know, right one after another. But I don't think the bipartisan legal advisory group is going to fall to quite the same fate as the proponents of the initiative in Prop 8. But that group, which is defending DOMA, appointed by Boehner and his buddies, the Republicans, costing taxpayers already $1.7 million. And Nancy Pelosi told me yesterday she was in the gallery for an hour and a half waiting for the justices to file in. She said there's another $3.3 million. $5 million taxpayers are paying for the Republicans to defend DOMA. It's outrageous.
I know, it really is. Our deficit hawk friends on the right over there, I know. You also talked about, you chatted with our California Attorney General Kamala Harris before the hearing. She was excited, as you have been. And then you said, I talked with Gavin Newsom afterwards, and he was confused, as I felt, about the likely outcome. And that seems to be the consensus, right?
Well, remember, that's Prop 8. I mean, I have very little confusion about DOMA right now. On Prop 8, the confusion isn't on the merits. Everybody knows it's unconstitutional. There's no question about it. And I'm saying this officially and publicly. I know Prop 8 is going to be thrown out and Californians will be able to get married. So start getting your marriage licenses, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, excuse me, not
yep.
your marriage. Start getting your banquet halls because the marriage licenses will flow when the law changes. But I think that both Gavin and I felt that there was a very they were really focusing on the lack of standing of these initiative proponents, and it took a long time to get to the merits of Prop 8 as well as DOMA. But when they did, the liberals and Kennedy were very, very strongly in our favor. I mean, really strongly in our favor.
Right.
There's some great quotes, but, you know, you may not want me to sit here and tell you those. They're just fantastic.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there were obviously so many great moments, and we picked out the same ones you did, as, you know, that Justice Ginsburg in particular said. Brenda,
well, you know, Elena, I want to tell you one thing before I would give Elena Kagan credit. She was silent for a good part of the merits discussion on DOMA yesterday, and all of a sudden was looking at her papers and read from the legislative history of DOMA. The whole point was animus toward homosexuals. That's basically how they managed to get that thing through after Hawaii said it's okay to marry here, or was about to say it was okay to marry here. Then DOMA passed, and no more Hawaii, no more anything. And I think that the animus, the spirit with which that law was enacted, is very important, and I hope it carries more than Kagan.
Let's listen to some of that moment. Here is Justice Kagan yesterday.
I'm going to quote from the House report here, is that Congress decided to reflect and honor a collective moral judgment and to express moral disapproval of homosexuality. Is that what happened in 1996?
That was a gasp, an audible gasp, right?
You know what? You didn't play his response. I don't know. Yeah, I guess maybe it did. And if you feel that way, he added in a nasty way, he being the defender of DOMA, you should just overturn the law.
Yeah.
Precisely. That's exactly right. And I think that, you know, we really are looking at a piece of legislation that has no justification whatsoever, none, for being on the books. But Bill Clinton signed, by the way. Our buddy Bill Clinton did sign this. I mean, we've got to remember he's evolved, and I'm sick of that word, by the way. Why don't we just say people change their minds? I mean, evolving, they didn't start very far along.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've come a huge way. I mean, 10 years, the numbers were flipped 10 years ago with 37% approving marriage, and now it's 58% approving marriage. I mean, things are flipping, but that was also used against us. I think it was Sotomayor, in a way, although she's on our side, I could tell that, but by saying, you know, we really maybe could just let this happen in the legislative process. Why are we rushing to make a decision now? This is Prop 8 primarily. Mm-hmm. Why are we rushing to make a decision now? To be moving in the right direction.
Yep.
Well, it was both DOMA and Prop 8. And, you know, it's one thing to say legislators will agree with us. I think we got 11 more, 8 more Democrats or something overnight practically on this thing. It's about time. But anyway, the bottom line is, you know, people have constituents who are narrow-minded and small-minded. These people are supposed to be leaders. People in Congress are supposed to be leading, and the president is supposed to be leading. I can't say that for the courts because that's not supposed to be their position. But we the minority, being tyrannized by the majority, should not have to be forcing our political hand by, I don't know, having fundraisers and bribing them in all kinds of crazy ways.
Thank you.
Feel that we should be equal. I mean, that's all we're asking for is equality.
Brenda Fagan, Esquire, great stuff. And I noticed you dropped out quite a few times because that means a lot of our mutual friends were calling you to tell you you're on the Stephanie Miller show.
I didn't know that.
I will take that up with them when we are at a dinner party at my house next time. They stop calling Brenda when she's on my show to tell her she's on my show.
That's very funny.
But great stuff, Brenda. Appreciate it. And I can't wait to see when you get home and hear
more. Yeah, don't forget we're having a dinner party. Got a lot of people wanting to come to it, Stephanie.
Yes. I bet so. All right, honey. Thanks so
much.
Love to Joanne.
Thank you.
All right, honey. There she goes.
Hooray.
She's awesome. At the Smart Dinner Party, I mostly just listen to her and go,
what?
Okay. 20 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Jackie Schechner's only been in studio with us for a couple of days instead of the current news center, and already she's a mookette.
Uh-oh.
Would you like to replay the conversation we just had?
Yeah, I'm stupid. You're stupid.
You're stupid, but what am I? I mean, what are you?
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's what we do during the break.
I can't even get my head on straight.
It's just immaturity. That's all it is.
He's not.
Yeah.
Shut up.
And Rocky Mountain Mike is not helping, because now we have opened up the screaming goat wormhole again. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
the plan starts from the go to.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Added dollop.
A lot of goats.
Stephanie Miller Show, proving you're only young once, but you can be immature literally forever.
Ever.
And we highly recommend it. Hello, Jill in Ithaca. Welcome. Hi,
hey,
Jill.
Stephanie and folks. Hi.
Hi.
Today is an important day. It's Day to Demand, where people call Congress and ask them to have legislation against illegal gun violence.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it. Call.
Yeah, let's all do it. And I think Obama's meeting was people from Sandy Hook, you know, in the spirit of that. So, yeah. And on a funnier note, I remember a Saturday Night Live skit where they had that ride where people got stuck on this, a Small World ride.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Jill. speaking of the president, also, there are other things going on in the world besides big gay things, you know, including immigration reform.
It's never going to be 110% perfect. But what we can do is continue to improve it and at the same time provide a clear pathway for those who are already here.
Did you say that a woman came over the fence while John McCain and the other senators were there and then John McCain shot her?
No, he did not.
He's for comprehensive immigration reform again.
We built the dang fence and it's still not working.
John McCain yesterday.
We will be able to say that we have a degree of border security that would allow people to move forward to a path to citizenship.
Oh, so now we can build the dang fence and be for the McCain-Kennedy bill again.
Sure.
Now that he's not running for president anymore. Okay, good. Mm. Howard in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Howard.
Hi. Big fan of the show. I have a ticket for Chicago, although I don't know if I'll be able to make it because I was injured recently.
Oh,
but,
no.
But in any case, what I'm calling about is I believe in equality, but I think it would be a better take on things to totally abolish civil marriage and give everyone civil unions with the same collection of rights currently held in marriage. Because the whole thing is people talk about holiness of marriage, sanctity of marriage. I don't want the state involved in anything that's holy or sacred or anything like that. You get your civil union, then you go to your priest, your rabbi, your minister, your imam, your priestess, whatever. Be married under the terms of whatever religion you want to practice. And let the state handle its two interests, the orderly change of property and raising children. So just get the religious part out of let the state handle that.
Yep. Good points, Howard. All of them. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, not often you get to say Carl Reiner.
Whoa.
Next.
Awesome.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Most guys don't have the balls to go after a girl.
Stephanie Miller.
Despite our reputation for being naughty.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We've been seeing our hero, Rob Reiner, on the steps of the Supreme Court all week. I got to go to his 60th birthday party, and I talk about the audible gasps we've heard in the Supreme Court. I did that when I saw Carl Reiner.
Wow.
And then I got to talk to him like I am right now. Good morning, Carl Reiner.
Good morning, Stephanie.
You are, it's not often you get to talk to a legend. And I remember the first time I met you at Rob's house, and I'm still starstruck. I'm thunderstruck, actually.
Well, you know, I've been a fan of yours for a long time.
See, now I'm going to tell that story over and over. I'm going to make Chris send me that audio.
No, I'm not kidding. I never missed you when you first started. I said, where did she come from? And I found out where you came from. And I said, this girl had to fight her way to this position, and you never cease to amaze me.
Oh, wow. Okay, you're going to make me start crying now and not be able to do the interview. even the title of your book is hilarious, of course. I Remember Me. where do you even start when you're writing a book about your career? I think everybody, I mean, how many times have people asked you the story, for instance, of the 1,000-year-old man? I mean, it's just, where do you get your ideas from?
Well, you know, actually, they pop like popcorn. And when you're with book, you're something happens. You're, every time I walked around the block, when I got to the third corner, something usually popped, and I said, "Ooh, that's a good story. I better put that down." When I got about 8 or 9 of those, I said, "I better put those down." And I just started writing. And I live for it, actually. I wake up and say, "What am I going to write today?" And if it weren't for tweets, I wouldn't know what to do for the day.
Yeah. You are a prolific tweeter.
I am.
Yeah.
I am that.
Well, I mean, writing is writing, right? I mean, it's the new way we do things now.
Yes, it's very satisfying because it's the most personal thing that you can do. It's you. I mean, if you lie, it's not going to work. If you tell the truth, it works.
How proud are you of your baby boy, Rob, this week? I know you're always proud of him.
Are you kidding? I just saw him talk about the subject he's working so hard at. And I am saying, this guy should have run. Well, he at one point they asked him to run for governor,
yeah.
And he decided he'd rather be a husband and a father.
Yeah.
And but he is so really smart, and thank goodness he has the mother he had.
Yeah.
I said this many times. I said, my wife raised 3 great kids and 1 great husband. No, it's her smart. It's her smarts. I lucked out. I married the right person. I was 20 years old when I met Estelle. She was 28, 29 when we married. And as I said, I was the original Ashton Kutcher. And people said, that's a little strange, you know, in those days especially, 65 years with the right woman. But 65 years ago, people weren't marrying. You know, a guy had to be 2-3 years older than his wife.
Yeah.
But because I married somebody who knew everything about everything, and I knew nothing about nothing except how to make a little fun. I was pretty good, always good at making fun. But she informed me about everything. My social conscience is, you know, comes from her.
Carl, it's interesting to hear you talk. And is that where Rob, you know, came by his fight for marriage equality? Because he saw, you know, obviously, you know, growing up, seeing that kind of love and that kind of marriage has to affect you deeply, right?
I think I would have to say that whether you're aware of it or not, your kids emulate you. They, when they're very small, they walk like you. When they see you walk, they walk like you. And it's knowing his mother and being close to his mother. I'm sure that her, there's no question about it, that her fairness about the world rubbed off on him.
He was so funny. Last time he was here in studio, he mentioned how proud he was that hers is one of the all-time, was voted one of the all-time great movie lines from When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
I'll have what she's having.
No, I love that story because Rob called his mother, and if he was in New York shooting in Katz's Deli, he said, "Ma, you got to fly out here. I have a line that you have to deliver." And she said, "There's 100 wonderful actresses in New York, thousands of who can do that line. Why me?" He's because nobody can do it like you, Ma. And boy, was he right, was she right. Now, the funny thing is that, you know, when she delivered that line, what's her name?
Meg Ryan.
No, yeah. Meg Ryan wasn't doing it quite right in rehearsal. And Rob said, "No, yeah." He said, "I need a little stronger, the fake orgasm." And he started to do it, pounding the table and going, "Yes, yes." And he said, "Oh, my God, my mother's watching me have an orgasm." But you know what I love about that? And I have it in the book, and the fact that the AFI and I think ABC Radio decided to culled the 10 greatest lines for movies, and then they put culled it down to 5, and there it is. You know, Frankly, Madam, I Don't Give a Damn, Clark Gable, Make My Day, Clint Eastwood, Humphrey Bogart's, and this could be the start of something big. And there's Estelle Reiner at number 4.
Wow.
So I titled the chapter, Estelle Reiner, One Better Than Humphrey Bogart.
Maybe this may be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, exactly. What you have to tell me the story in the book, A Family Trip to a Nude Beach. That's
oh, I love that. You know, that was one. We had a wonderful 15 years at the south of France when I was doing movies, and we took the whole summer off for 15 years. Bought a house in a place called Castellars, between Valbonne and it's a wonderful thing. Anyway, we're driving along the beach with our Our children never came with us. I think they'd rather play with their friends in the summer. But Lucas, who was 16, our last born, and who was born 12 years after Robbie, a wonderful afterthought, who turned out to be, by the way, the nicest human being I know. Mm. And he and his friend Kevin came for the summer. And we're driving along the beach, and we see the sign to Saint-Tropez. I say, you know, we never saw Saint-Tropez. Let's stop off. And we get out of the car, and coming toward us are four of the most beautiful bosoms on two women. Two women with two bosoms apiece. And they are gorgeous. And the kids look, and they don't react at all. They're just stone-faced. And I said, oops, you know, 16 years old. They're ready to, you know, to look around.
Yeah.
So my wife and I sit on the beach. They go for a walk. They come back. And now we're ready to go back to Castro Larraz. It's about an hour drive. And we're trying to involve them in conversation. They're very taciturn. They're just quietly sitting in the back of the car. After an hour, and we're pointing out things. Look at that restaurant. Look at that. They look at this. With nothing from them. We're about 2 minutes from the house. And we hear this voice in the back seat. It's Lucas Reiner. And this is the exact words he said, very quietly and very measuredly. This was the best day of my whole life.
Every Reiner born with comic timing. Carl, did you talk about politics a lot? Again, I mean, I know obviously where Rob came by his and your other kids came by their humor. Where do they come by their
beliefs? No, there's no question about politics. Mm-hmm. Yes, we watch the television, radio, and we screamed at the set, and I worked very hard when the Vietnam War was being fought, and I thought it was so indefensible. I emceed the moratorium in San Francisco. I never saw 750,000, almost a million people at the polo field, and there I am emceeing and inviting people to get up and speak. And that was one of the most. So there was a lot of activity in my family doing political things.
You had there's a story in the book, a surprise early morning visit from the McCarthy era FBI. What was that about?
Oh well, there was at one point in a very sad time in our history when there was a guy named McCarthy who was. Yeah. It all started. Not it all started, but there was a grocery man in upstate New York who decided that he was going to root out all the reds in the world, all the people he thought had tinges. So anybody who was in any kind of liberal cause, he would target them as a red. And red baiting became a very famous thing.
Yeah,
McCarthy,
absolutely.
With the House Un-American Activities Committee asking people what their political preference are, which you're not allowed to do.
Right.
And of course, a lot of these wonderful, great writers, took the Fifth and went to jail for
it. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So there was that kind of.
But they actually came to your house one
yes,
morning?
Yes, and it was 1950, and we had just moved to New Rochelle, living the dream that everybody has, having a house in the country with kids. And 9 o'clock in the morning, knock, knock, knock on the door on a Sunday. I go to I'm wearing my boxer shorts and T-shirt. I look, and there's two very handsome gentlemen in dark suits and saying, hi, are you Carl Reiner? Yes. We're from the FBI. We'd like to speak to you. And I say, whoops, in my head, but my mouth says, gentlemen, yes, come in. I'd love to speak to you. I go to my wife, and I said, there's some strange men here, but don't worry, I think we'll be all right. And I'm thinking in my head, my wife was a very active liberal. All the things I know about the good parts of life, I learned from her reading. She read the Daily Worker as a young girl, she being older than me. And then anybody not being socially interested in the 30s about rights of everybody, the black rights, human rights, was not thinking. So I'm thinking, oops, they got us. Anyway, the first question out of their mouth, I could not believe. They said, by the way, I decided I was going to be charming. They were so charming, these guys. I said, I'll out-charm them. And I remember this so clearly. I said, gentlemen, how about some coffee? And they said, yes. And I said, no, I mean, do you have any? I mean, I said, too early. I didn't make coffee yet. They laughed. And then I said, then they asked me this question, which I could not believe. They said, did you vote for the American Labor Party in this last election? Oh. And I said, they can't ask me that. It's a secret ballot. And I said, of course I did. I admitted to me, I was Henry Wallace, Vice President of Dr. Roosevelt. Yeah.
I just played him on the Oliver Stone show.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Long story.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting. I mean, you talk about that's how long ago you guys have been talking about politics in your family. And you know, and now look at, have you talked to Rob since he's been at the Supreme Court this week?
No, I haven't. And as a matter of fact, he was on some program talking. Everybody told me how wonderful he was. And so I Googled him looking for him, and I found he was on Morning Joe a year ago, talking about the same subject. Is he knowledgeable about it? My God, you can't catch him. He knows letter and law about everything. He's really so bright.
That must be amazing, Googling your own son.
you know, he doesn't call me and tell me, Dad, I'm on. No, he figures, I don't know what he's figuring, but it's like saying, you know, look at me, I'm doing something great.
Yeah, well, he's on kind of a lot of stuff. But and thank you for all the wonderful things you've produced, including him. And the book is I Remember Me. Carl, what an honor. Always such a thrill to talk to you. Thanks so much.
I'm so glad you're out there, Stephanie. I love you.
I love you back, Carl.
Aww.
Thanks. Aw, thanks so much, Carl. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Wow. That was really cool.
That was. You remember it was the same dinner party I was at that I told you I ran into Larry David, and he said that Jim Ward's a great writer. So there. That's for you.
Larry David said that about Jim?
Yeah. No.
You didn't tell me that. That's awesome.
I did. I told you at the time. Oh, you don't remember. You don't listen to me, do you?
Excuse me?
Okay.
Sorry, what?
47 minutes. 47. He hears me when I tell him a compliment.
Exactly. Yeah, Larry David likes your writing.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is great radio.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, and Beyonce has posted on her Facebook page, if you like it, you should be able to put a ring on it.
Uh-huh.
Thank you,
Hashtag
Beyonce.
We will unite for marriage equality.
Yay.
Thank you, Beyonce.
Yay, thank you, Beyonce.
Thank you, Queen Bee.
Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like I do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. They are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to try GoToMyPC free. Check it out for 45 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. Oh, speaking of promos,
Carl Reiner, if you didn't get enough, we got more tonight on Current. Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks did a great interview with Joy Behar. That's going to be rebroadcast tonight on Joy Behar Say Anything. It is a must-see for fans.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
Tonight on Current.
Oh, my God, he just makes me cry. Okay, he's just so lovely, and in addition to being incredibly funny and talented. All right. Oh, by the way, I just love these stories during Marriage Equality Week for gays, because straight's doing such a good job. Police say a South Carolina woman stabbed her boyfriend, then threw his prosthetic leg in the yard to prevent him from chasing her.
Oh, wow.
They had a little spat. Okay.
That's one way to do it.
Wow.
Okay, then.
Clearly we need a Violence Against Men Act.
Yeah.
So I mentioned this earlier to somebody. Rush Limbaugh said on his show he predicted same-sex marriage will eventually be made legal nationwide, regardless of how the Supreme Court rules.
I'm sure he was thrilled about that.
It doesn't matter.
He took an extra dose of OxyContin before he reported on that. Allegedly.
Oh, and then he said something dumb. Okay.
Of course,
he said, yeah. And racist, quite honestly. Yeah. He was talking about a report in the National Enquirer which reported Chelsea Clinton is considering adopting a baby from Africa. The report claimed Clinton is having difficulty conceiving, and after a series of health scares with her, her mom obviously had a health scare. She was eager to give her parents a grandchild. Limbaugh scoffed at the explanation, saying the story says nothing about the African child being the latest fashion. He said it's the latest fashion accessory for elite liberals.
You're kidding. Oh, my God.
He said Chelsea Clinton, the daughter of the first black president, is going to adopt a baby from Africa. And then he went on to make the comments about it's a fashion. So. All right.
Wow.
All right. We all have no comment
on
that.
Not much you can say about that.
No, we really don't. All right. Oh, by the way, kids, speaking of Carl Reiner comedy legend.
Yes.
We're not legends yet, but we're doing the best we can. Sexy Liberal Show in Chicago, kids. April 13th tickets. Roland tells me tickets are going very, very fast. It is fast upon us. I booked my flights yesterday to Chicago.
Oh.
You're making your way back to Chicago?
Right. Well, as you know, I flew Southwest.
Ah.
Back where there was a middle-aged, bi-curious woman that offered to, asked if she could kiss me, to which I said no. But anyway, Audra and
Neil. I've been with a few women. Can I kiss you?
Well, I don't even know how.
Well, she seemed real nice, you know? Real nice.
Here she comes leaning over.
Oh, well, thanks, but no thanks.
I'm a late, bi curious wannabe lover.
No offense, but no, it's okay. Gosh, I did.
That middle-aged, bi-curious, wannabe lover.
Hey, they look innocent. A couple glasses of wine, they go nuts. All I can say, Steph, is it's a good thing you weren't in a hot tub. Stephanie, don't answer that.
Okay.
This message has been brought to you by lesbians that have been hit on by middle-aged, bi-curious women in hot tubs.
And airplanes and Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, no.
Not Chuck E. Cheese.
It's nothing sacred.
No, that's just wrong.
Something tells me that Audra was hit on by a...
She was. She said that and said that did happen to her.
In a Chuck E. Cheese.
All right. Once again, hey, listen. Pay attention, everybody. You can't just try it. You can't. Just saying, oral exam. All right. Jim, quick celebrity sack. Harrison Ford.
Got to be very quick. Almost
you know
out of time.
Why don't we just do that?
Let's do it tomorrow.
Let's do that tomorrow. We'll talk about that.
We waited a little too long for that.
Let's go to Albert in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Albert.
Morning, Mama Mooks and Jackie. Well, you started out the program with Bill O'Reilly. Let's end it with Bill O'Reilly. He may be trying to climb off the wheel of right-wing hypocrites, but it's not going to work. It hasn't been that long when he was comparing giving gays the right to marriage, the same thing with giving people the right to marry animals. Yes, he was comparing homosexuality to bestiality. But the when he says he doesn't have a dog in this fight, it's probably because it won't have sex with him.
I see what you did there. All right. That's close us out there. All right. Great. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, who has you don't want to miss tomorrow in the Harrison Ford bit.
It's golden.
I've read it. It's right there.
It's going to age well overnight, right?
Yes.
Oh, right. It's going to
be pressure now.
Like a cheese.
T-Bone on phones and drums. Jackie Schechter, the Mooket. Over there, that's the news center now, right there. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.